Thankful this morning to have a faithful friend to hold on to, and one that's holding on to me this morning. And just ask a special interest in your prayers today that God's purpose would be accomplished. As when the Lord gave me, began talking to me, and this may end up being a series on this subject. I've written on the board this morning, I want to see Jesus. It may end up being a little series, but we live in a very confused world. We live in a world where people are confused, and Sunday school laid a foundation as well, but people are blinded. People are being blinded by the things of the world. They're blinded by the things of the flesh. They're blinded by religion. They are blinded by doctrines. They are blinded by churches and fellowships and ministries. And even right among God's people that have sat where you sat this morning, the enemy has taken advantage of many people through the years. And there have been many that have compromised truth. There have been some that have become very fanatic, and there are some that continue to sit where you sit, and they don't know whether they're coming or going. Do you know this morning that there is an answer to that? And I would that the Lord Jesus would open up our eyes this morning, because if you are confused this morning, if you've been disappointed in people and in things and in congregations and in fellowships, we need our eyes open and focus in that we would see Jesus this morning. I believe if we could get a vision of Jesus this morning, it would take care of compromise. If we would get a vision of who Jesus is, it would take care of fanaticism. If we would get a vision of who Jesus really is personally for ourselves, it would change the decisions and choices that we are making on a daily basis when we really get a personal understanding of who Jesus Christ is. I'd like to begin reading with a very familiar passage in Luke 19. And have you ever heard someone maybe preach a message or speak or talk to him, and you went away thinking they have an agenda? I want you to know, when the Lord started giving me this message, I thought, I have an agenda. I do have an agenda this morning, and my agenda is Jesus Christ. So if there's any question, I just want to clear it up. Yes, I have an agenda. And it was given by the Holy Spirit, and I would that this would be the beginning that we as a congregation in our homes, individually, as a people, that we would see Jesus in a greater way. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And this is what we're going to read this morning in Luke 19. It said, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Do you know what's interesting about that? Jericho is where Zacchaeus lived. Do you know that Jesus wants to pass by where you live this morning? Do you know that I am so thankful that Jesus chose to pass by my way? And when I got a vision of Jesus, it changed my life. It changed the direction. My life would have been very different this morning. But I will say, as the prophet Isaiah, mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And it changed my direction. It changed the values that I had. It changed my priorities, and it changed it changed my home, and it changed my family, because I saw Jesus. And when Jesus passes by your way, you need not stay the same. When Jesus passes by your way very personally today, and it goes way beyond coming to church service, I'm talking about when Jesus comes and starts talking to you personally. If you will just open up your heart and allow it, it will change your vision. It will change your perspective. And as we read this, I want to just give a foundation that, Lord willing, we're going to revisit more. But many times people ask the question, and many times in an accusatory way, is, why do you do what you do? Why do you live like you live? Why don't you go out and do the things of the world? Why do you dress like you do? Brother Michael, why does your wife, why does she dress like she does? And why doesn't she adorn herself like the world is adorning? You all are strange and you don't have to live that way. I want to tell you something. My answers and my words may not answer questions with people this morning, but I will say the reason I do what I do this morning is because I have a vision of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be living my life just because there's another church or another ministry, but when you get a vision of Jesus Christ, it changes the way you live. It's like we have the power to live however we want this morning. You have the power to live here this morning and go do whatever you want. No one is going to force you to live a holy life. But the scripture also says that without holiness, no man shall what? See the Lord. I want to see Jesus this morning. I don't want anything in my life that's going to obscure my vision of Jesus. And so that's the reason why, if you want to know this morning why I do what I do, and it's not just me, I know many of you as well, but I'm just going to speak personally. If you want to know why I live like I do, it's because I've seen the Lord. Say, you're just doing it because the church teaches it. No, I'm not. Because this is personal this morning. If you're living your life because someone said something, you're going to be at odds with yourself. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be at peace. But when you get a vision personally of Jesus Christ, and that is the reason why you do what you do, do you know there's a peace that comes with that? It's not because of another group of people. It's because mine eyes have seen the Lord. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus that had a desire to see Jesus. And I wasn't intending for the story of Zacchaeus to turn into a series. So let's start reading. It said, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. Now, the publicans were the tax collectors. They were Jews that worked for the Roman government, the oppressor. So publicans were scorned by their Jewish brothers and sisters, in other words, because you're working for the oppressing government, and plus you're collecting taxes. That's, you know, the IRS is not usually the highest on people's, on the likability factor, because they're taking something that, or wanting something from you that you feel like, I don't want to give all that. And so the publicans were seen, many of them were dishonest. They were ostracized by many of the religious people. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was in a district there in Jericho that was really very affluent. He had people under him. He was a boss, in other words, but yet he was a sinner. And he had a desire to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was not coming from the temple when he heard that Jesus was going to pass by. He wasn't coming from offering sacrifices. He wasn't coming from the synagogue. But somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus had heard about this man called Jesus. He had heard about this man that maybe professed to be the Son of God. He had heard about his miracles. He had heard that he could deliver people and set them free from spirits and devils. He had heard about this, and there was something inside Zacchaeus that was personal. And it's like, I want to see him for myself. This morning, it is one thing for us, and I am so thankful each one of you are here. I am thankful that you go to camp meetings. I am thankful that you, many of you, you're diligent, and probably you read the Word and things. But it's going to have to go beyond that this morning. It's going to have to go beyond that. It's wonderful to hear truth because, see, that's what spawned a seed inside Zacchaeus because of what someone had told him. And yet it wasn't enough. And I will speak personally because these questions are being asked a lot. Right among us. Right among God's people and in the world. About why do you do this? Why do you live this way? And I just want to say that we need to be as Zacchaeus this morning. I personally, I've heard it, and I've seen some things, but I personally want to see Jesus Christ. I personally want to have an experience. Because you see, I can't get to heaven on my parents' coattails. I can't get to heaven. It doesn't bring peace just to, as I establish my own home to say, well, mom and dad did it that way, so I'm going to do it that way. And it's just always what mom and dad did. I want to know why they did it. I want to know what it was that motivated them. But I want something for myself. When you're little, when you're young, and someone comes along and says, and I remember this, I went to public school, and people would ask, why do you do this, and why can't you do that, and why is your mom dressed that way, and why? You know, when you're young, it's like, well, my church teaches that. You know, when you're young, that's a good enough answer, but I want to tell you, as you grow up, it's not good enough. I'm not going to be able, because I've got to have something personal. I need to see Jesus for myself this morning, because when people say, why do you do that? And I say, well, that's what my pastor said. Well, I hope that you take some heed to it, but I want to tell you what, I don't have any heaven to give to you, and it's not enough, because what about, what if someone tells you to do something wrong? It's like, well, I'm doing something wrong because they told me. Is that sufficient? We can't place the blame on what someone told us, whether it's good or bad. We need to get something personal for ourselves. We need this morning, in this generation, people who are seeking for divine revelation from God that's in accordance to His Scripture. That I know why I'm doing this, because thus saith the word of the Lord, but I have seen the Lord for myself. And if you all were to go away this morning and you would say there's nothing to it, I still have seen the Lord Jesus, and I still want to live this way because I found that's where the peace and the power of God rest. Which means then that the reason we live the way we do can only go so far in resting in what others around us do. We need to see Jesus for ourselves, and that was Zacchaeus' desire. He said he sought to see Jesus. What are you seeking for this morning? I want to encourage you to seek to see Jesus. And it said he could not. In other words, there was something that was hindering him from seeing Jesus. And you know why? He was little. He was short. It said he was little of stature. He was a short man. When you get in a crowd, have you ever been in a crowd and, you know, those that are taller, they can see over the heads of the crowd. But if you're like me, you know, you might be looking for the high ground. Do you know that's exactly what Zacchaeus did? It said there were things that were blurring his vision that he could not see Jesus, and he had a desire to see him. This morning, there are many things that the enemy is using to try to obscure our vision of Jesus Christ. Because see, when you see Jesus, you start to understand truth. When you see Jesus for yourself, you start to understand His expectations for us. But you need to see Him. And Zacchaeus had such a desire that he ran. Said he ran before. He ran in front of the crowd. I want to get away from the things that are obscuring my vision. How do we expect to see Jesus if we get ourselves entangled in the things of this world? And people say, I just don't see it. Well, it's because you're in the crowd. You need to run. If you have a desire this morning to see Jesus, if you will say, Lord, whatever I have to do, but I need to see you, Lord. He was in the crowd with hypocrites. He was in the crowd with the Pharisees, those that were self-righteous. He was in the crowd with people that probably, with disciples. It was a mixed multitude. And yet he had a desire that, Lord, I want to see you for myself. I've heard but I want to see you for myself. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And we live in a time of so much confusion. So I don't know where we're little of stature. And I'm not talking about your physical height this morning. But some say, well, it's my background. The way I was raised, I just don't get it. You know what? We need to see Jesus. My background's hindering me. The way I was raised, the congregation I grew up in, it just kept me. I don't really have a vision because they were a certain way, and it just feels like it's limiting me. But what are we in pursuit of seeing this morning? Are we in pursuit of the things of the world? Or are we in pursuit this morning that, God, I want to please you. I want to make heaven my home. And if that is our desire, our prayer should be, Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to see you for myself. And so, Lord, help me to do whatever I need to do. I've got some personal issues that, I don't know. The saints, I just don't get it. I just don't get why you all do what you do. Has anybody else heard that? There's been a lot of that through the years, isn't there? What's the answer? I don't think my words are sufficient to satisfy. But as a congregation, as a people, we have the answer. And it's to point people to Jesus. Go seek to have a revelation of Jesus for yourself. You have questions, seek to see Jesus this morning. Open up your heart. And Zacchaeus, so he ran. And now let me just say this, that is the function of the church. I will say, as Paul, and the church has been accused many a time of doing differently. But I will say, as Paul this morning, lest anyone question this, we preach not ourselves, but we preach what? Jesus Christ. We do not have, and Him crucified. We don't have a heaven to give. I don't have peace to give to you. I don't have all the answers for you, but I have where to point you to. And that's Jesus Christ. And that is what brings us into fellowship as a general body of people, is not because we're just trying to conform to one another, but when you get a vision of Jesus, it creates a unity and a oneness and a bond among common, like-minded people that are following after. And the people who work and look on and say, well, y'all are just traditionalists. You're just following a tradition, and that's why you do what you do. Maybe that's why they do what they do, but I'm following Jesus. And if I'll follow Him today, one day we'll follow Him right into heaven. But if you're following Jesus too, and we're pretty similar then, because we both got a vision of Jesus, does that mean we're just trying to conform to one another? No. It means that we're pretty similar because we're following the same one, and that's Jesus Christ. So if I begin to lose my vision and I begin to get blinded eyes, do you know that Jesus Christ is in the business of opening up blinded eyes? Thank God. But I want to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus ran, and you remember the story. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Him, for he was to pass that way. How dignified was that? I don't know if there's a tree out here or not. There's a telephone pole. What would y'all think if after service I was wanting to look down the road and you came out there and I was climbing the telephone pole? You know, suit tails flapping. There he's climbing a telephone pole. Is that dignified? You know, if you want to climb a tree, that's all right. But I want to tell you something. When you have a desire to see Jesus more than anything else, you will be willing to stand out from the crowd. You will be willing to go an extra mile. You will be willing to look different than the world looks. You will be willing to make different choices because I want to see Jesus more than anything else. And if the world looks on me and says, you don't need to do that, Zacchaeus didn't care what everybody thought. I mean, he was a rich man. And do you know that it's normally poor people that are more open to the things of God? Because rich people tend to be more self-reliant, and I don't need help, and I'm self-sufficient, and I've got all control, and I'm... But regardless of temporal wealth this morning, if we have a desire to see Jesus, we're going to start saying it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. Sometimes we care too much what people think of us. Well, I don't want to be associated with them, so I'm going to do things a little bit different. What are we trying to do this morning? As a congregation, what are we teaching? What message do we have to the world? Are we interested in just building up and maintaining some group that maybe you can trace some histories back, you know, 140 years ago? Is that what this is about? If that is what the church of God is about, I am not interested this morning. I'm not interested, but I want to go all the way back to what Jesus Christ brought and say, Lord, I want to get a vision of you that I can know how to serve you because I want the joy and the peace that you have, and one day I want to go to heaven. You will not find that kind of victory following men. You will not find it in joining another group. You can go find another church that may sparkle and dazzle, but after a while you're going to find that man is in that church. You need to get a vision of Jesus Christ and let where you worship be determined by Jesus Christ, not by the pressures around you. So Lord, then help me to see Jesus. And if I'm confused, I don't want to make any quick decisions. If I get blinded, I don't want to go ramp because I might fall into the ditch. But Lord, I want to stop and right where I am and say, Lord, open my eyes. I'm willing to climb a tree. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but give me a personal divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Zacchaeus ran, climbed the tree. And as Jesus, it says, Jesus came to the place and he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. How much more beautiful words would you like to hear? Someone that had a desire to see Jesus, and Jesus came by and said, come on down. I see your heart this morning. This morning, if you have a heart to see Jesus, but you're blinded or the things around you are pressing in and it seems like you can't see him anymore. If you have a desire to see Jesus, he will be seen of you. And that is what makes the difference. Zacchaeus, it wasn't a crowd that climbed the tree. It wasn't the crowd. He was by himself up there. And Jesus stopped amidst everyone. And he saw someone that had a desire. And I just want you each one individually to know this morning, whether you're saved or not, or regardless of how long you've been saved, if you have a desire more than anything else to see Jesus, he's going to start revealing himself to you. That, Lord, I need to see you for myself. I've heard, I know what mom and dad have taught, I know what grandpa and grandma said, I know I've sat here for years and listened to this preached, and you know, I see people do some things sometimes I don't think they ought to do, but I don't, Lord, aside from all of those things, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see Jesus this morning, because when you see Jesus, it will change your life. So Jesus, amongst the crowd, he stopped. Like, Brother Randy, I'm going to come on with you. Why? Because he saw someone had a desire. If you don't have a desire for Jesus, don't expect your eyes to be opened.
That's right.
Don't expect to understand the church of God. Don't expect to understand holiness because your eyes are blinded. But if you'll choose that, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see Jesus. I don't want to see another church. I'm so tired of religion this morning. I'm so tired of groups. I'm so tired of you have to check and, you know, I don't know if they still brand cattle like they used to. You have to go check their ear to see which way are you branded. I want to follow Jesus. It's like when the men heard the disciples preaching, they said, sirs, we would see who? We would see Jesus. These were his disciples, but I don't want to just see this minister or this group. I want to see Jesus. It will start answering so many questions. It will start alleviating so many problems. And the Lord wants us to see him this morning. So Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. And he made haste and came down and received him. How? Joyfully. Thank God. Do you know that when you have a desire to see Jesus, it's not about, okay, I've got to put on this, all right now, got to put on this straight jacket of holiness. Have you all, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people have thought that before. I dare say a lot of you, right? The enemy comes along and says, well, you know, if you worship with him, you're going to have to do this and you can't do that. That's not what this is about. This is about getting a vision of Jesus and receiving him joyfully. If it feels like a straitjacket, you haven't seen Jesus clearly. Is that straight enough? If you don't understand what holiness is all about, don't criticize the church. Get a vision of Jesus. Because when you get a vision of Jesus, it changes perspective. Now, I know I've heard the disciples talk, but I'm not a follower of Peter this morning. I'm not a follower of John the Baptist. I'm not a follower of James and of John. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not a follower of D.S. Warner this morning. I'm not a follower of Martin Luther. The Lord blessed them and he used them and he used them to bring light and understanding. But all of the doctrinal truth will do us no good this morning until we get a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. We can debate and we can talk and we can go this and that and pros and cons in this person and that person and what happened to that split in this split last year and this minister went over a fanatic and this one compromised. Oh, there's nothing to it. Get a vision of Jesus Christ this morning. And anyone that says the church of God is just following traditions and they have to do that, you can go live however you want this morning. You have the right and the privilege. But if you will get a vision of Jesus, then you start finding there's a kinship. There's a kinship in your heart. And then you start making decisions and all of a sudden the face of Jesus starts to get a little bit blurry. It's like, Lord, I don't want to do that then because whenever I go do that, it obscures my vision of Christ. So I lay that thing down. And then the world says, well, you don't have to do that. No, I don't. I don't. But I choose, because every time I do that, it starts obscuring my clarity with God. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So the closer I get to the world, I start losing my relationship with my Lord. I start losing that power and I start losing that peace. And then I lay it aside and people around me don't understand, but it's personal now. It's not just because the church teaches against it. Who is the church? There's no one following it. Do I come into your homes and tell you what you can and cannot do? As your pastor, do I do that this morning? You have the right to live however you want to live. But by the grace of God, I want to teach you what this is what the Bible says. And if you want to find the blessings of God, this is the way to do it. But what's going to motivate you through the week is not what the pastor says. It's going to be that, Lord, I have seen you. And when I read the Word of God, I start seeing that vision of Jesus high and lifted up above the world. And then that motivates me to change my life that I can become more into the image of Jesus Christ. So we need personal revelation. So Zacchaeus went joyfully. Do you know serving the Lord ought to be a joyful experience? If it's bondage, I know you all know people that preach the same doctrine and they are flat out miserable people. Do you know there were hypocrites and there were Pharisees in the time of Christ? They missed it. They missed it. But Jesus said, these things you ought to have done, but not left the other undone. In other words, yes, there's doctrinal truth, but guess what? It means nothing without that personal desire and revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, he went home joyfully, and when Jesus went to his house, you remember Jesus sat down with the sinners, and he ate with them. We're going to wrap this up. I wish I had another 30 minutes this morning, but you know what? There'll be another time. If the Lord tarries his coming. But if he doesn't, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus, they looked, the people looked on, they murmured and complained because Jesus was sitting with a sinner. But this sinner had a desire to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Who made Zacchaeus do that? Did Jesus force him to do it? This was free will. Because Zacchaeus had, he'd seen Jesus. And there was something in his heart that motivated him of his own free will to stand and say, "You know what? I'm going to fix what I did wrong. And if I have taken something that was unjust and I've stolen something or taken things that wasn't mine, I'm going to pay it back plus some." That's called restitution. Do you realize this morning that whether it is restitution, whether it is reading and praying, whether it is your personal decisions in your faith for the physical needs that you have, whether you go to the doctor or not, whether you, what you do when you get sick, the way that you dress, modesty, and all of those things, do you recognize that those are things that we need to personally choose? You see, this is an expression of God's will for us. The word is an expression of his will for us, but he's not forcing any of us to do that. He's giving us a choice. And you say, "But why am I want to follow the word?" Because I've seen Jesus. So why did Zacchaeus stand up and make a declaration of restitution? It wasn't because there was someone forcing him to do it. As your pastor this morning, I'm not going to beat you over a head. Because even if you did do it, you know, I know some might kick against it, but even if you did submit to the pastor, you know what I'm talking about? Even if you did submit, it wouldn't be in the heart. And if it's not in the heart, what value is there? I've seen groups and I've seen congregations of people. They all look the same and they all do pretty much the same. But I'll tell you what, they're people inside. And there's attitudes, and there's pride, and there's hypocrisy. You know, this is why it's so important then to point people to Jesus Christ. Get a vision of Jesus. If you're blinded this morning or you're struggling, you're not the first. But we need a personal divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "For the Son of Man," he said, "this day is salvation come to this house." This day salvation has come. Why? Because there was someone that had a desire to see Jesus. And of his own free will, he thought, "I want to do the things in my life that I can maintain a clear vision of Christ." Amen. This morning, here's my challenge to you. In the hot button issues, you know what I'm talking about when I say hot button issues? Maybe it's time to quit dissecting every little thing and start asking the Lord, "Lord, give me a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't understand, Brother Michael, why your wife looks like that. I don't know why she dresses that way. I don't understand why the church doesn't bring in the musical instruments. I don't understand why the sisters, why you wear dresses, not just when you come to service, but it doesn't matter when you're going to find them out in public wearing a certain, why, I don't understand that. I don't understand why that many of you all, you choose not to go to this place and go, that, you know, that just looks like bondage to me." Do you realize this morning, I will agree with you, it is bondage. If you are doing it to please people, it's bondage. Well, the scripture says, "Agree with your adversary quickly." You get pulled in these kind of conversations, agree, "Yeah, you're right." It's bondage. Unless you get a personal divine revelation of Jesus Christ, and that will begin to change the way that you see. And so, Lord, today, regardless of anybody else, there's a reason. I'm going to be real specific, and I, again, we're going to close here. But I remember growing up, and today we have a lot bigger issues than television, right? I mean, television is antiquated. We've got a lot bigger issues on our hand. The devil's a pretty smart little fella, and we could deal with that another time. However, used to when I was young, you know, we grew up without a television. And when you're little, well, my church teaches. Well, okay, wait, hold on a minute. Is anything wrong with the moving picture? No. Is anything wrong with the box and the wire? No. Is anything wrong with watching movement? If there is, we better all be real still because we're all movement and in color, right? So, I mean, that kind of argument, it just kind of falls kind of flat, doesn't it? So, here is where a lot of people came to personally as they saw Jesus. When I watch this, it dulls my spiritual appetite. And I want to maintain my vision for Jesus, so I'm going to lay that aside. You don't have to do that for us, for me, for anybody else. But I want to encourage you in issues that maybe you're not sure about, begin to examine how it affects your vision of Jesus, how it affects your spiritual appetites. I say as Zacchaeus this morning, I want to see Jesus. Amen.